morning, everyone. Today's gospel is actually John 1, 29 through 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him for that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the God.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to now reflect on it, and may you speak to each and every one of us individually. May we be encouraged, may we be challenged, may we be transformed by your word and your message. And Father, if there's anything that might stand between us and listening to and accepting your word this morning, I pray that your Spirit will remove those obstacles. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pick a destination. After deciding how you're going to get there, you then need to decide where you're going to stay. If you spend less than $100 per night at a hotel, you're probably staying at some kind of a dump or a low-budget chain motel. Today, however, you have options not available 20 years ago. There's now something called Airbnb. It's an online platform that connects people willing to share, or connect you with people willing to share a room or maybe an entire house, typically at a lower cost than a commercial facility. How many of you have used Airbnb for your travels? It was founded just over 12 years ago, and today it's worth $55 billion. It has booked tens of millions of overnight stays for its hosts around the globe. If you haven't tried it before, give it a try. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you'll be very disappointed, who knows. So when Jesus saw Andrew and Simon Peter following him, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." Jesus extends an invitation to his new friends. He says, come check out where I'm staying. So what does Jesus' guest house look like? It certainly is not his own house. Indications are that he was, like many millennials today, he lived with his parents until he was 30 years old. Maybe he rented an Airbnb in Capernaum, and it's to this house that he's inviting the disciples, his new friends. Or maybe Mary and Joseph had a rental down by the sea. Probably not. But it's kind of interesting to look at this situation, this unique situation in which Jesus is the host. I mean, most other times he is the guest, or he's inviting himself to someone's house, like with the tax collector Zacchaeus, if you remember the story. So today, I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to stay with you. In Revelation, Jesus is knocking on the door trying to get a dinner invitation. He says, look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. But here Jesus is the host. And when Andrew and Peter ask him, where are you staying? He extends the invitation to come and see. So I want us to look at this idea of host and guest from a few different angles this morning. And in so doing, let's see what we can discover about our Lord and our own faith this morning. First, before we think about being a guest in Jesus' house, let's imagine that Jesus is a guest in our house. What would that look like? I guess there won't be any problem with the wine, because as long as we have a nice bottle of Perrier or Evian, Jesus can take care of the rest. But we need to make sure there's bread. And what about furniture? Do we sit at the table or do we eat on the floor? Will there be foot washing? Jesus, we apologize, but generally we just try to wash our hands before dinner with some soap. And maybe we'd want to find Grandma's Bible and dust it off and have it around laying casually on a table with a bookmark in it, or maybe even open to John chapter 3. Shall we put up a cross? Or will that be in bad taste? What about conversation? What do we talk about? Did you catch the chariot race yesterday? Or the weather, or small talk. So you were born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, right? Or will we have some real deep conversation and ask Jesus to answer some questions we've always wondered about? What will be on the menu? Fish, bread, olives, figs, crackers and hummus, falafel? Would you play a card game after dinner? Maybe not, given he knows everything. And would you pray? For instance, will you be able to pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught us? I mean, it would be awkward to have a brain cramp at the wrong time. It's happened to me from the pulpit a few times. You don't want to sound like, you know, Sister Clarissa in Sister Act, remember? Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I shall fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce us ready to eat. Amen. What would you wear? Anything, as long as it covers everything. So I'm not sure if you've ever thought about, you know, Jesus being a guest in your house. What, on the other hand, would we do if we were invited as a guest to Jesus' home, when Jesus is host? In the Gospels, Jesus is host three times. The first time is in this text that's before us today. It's at the beginning of his ministry, and he tells two of his future disciples, come and see where I'm staying. The next time is when he gathers his disciples together for what we now call the Last Supper. This is just before he dies on the cross. And the disciples ask Jesus, what are we going to do about Passover? And Jesus said to Peter and John, go and prepare the Passover meal for us to eat. He tells them to go and prepare the meal. And finally, it's before he leaves this earth. There's a post-resurrection scene in Galilee in which Jesus hosts a fish breakfast, where Jesus said to them, come and eat. None of the followers dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Come and see, go and prepare, come and eat. So let's zoom in a little bit further and see what we can learn from this. Try and figure out what it means for us 2,000 years later. And so I guess if I have to write a headline or give you the bottom line, it would be something like this. Jesus wants to be a welcoming host. He invites us to come and see, to go and prepare, and to come and eat. And it's a wonderful invitation. The question is, will we accept his invitation to do just that? Because if we do, it'll be an empowering and enriching experience. So when Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, come and see, he establishes a motive for our ministry as Christians. It's really a message for the work of the church. An invitation to come and see means we have a ministry that is fundamentally inviting and welcoming. That is what we do as the church. We invite and we welcome. We say, come and see. This is who us Christians are. We are inviting and we are welcoming. We don't coerce, we commend. We don't impose, we invite. We don't wrestle and wrangle, we welcome. We don't threaten, we attract and we draw. We don't lampoon, we love. And by the way, this is not something that you're incapable of doing, okay? Anyone can extend a simple invitation to come and see. So really, you can relax, okay? Because it's not your job or your mission or your responsibility as a follower of Jesus to explain the Apostles' Creed or the Belhar Confession to someone. It's not your job to ask people if they know they're going to heaven or not, or to get them to make a pledge for the year, or to tell people, hey, why don't you go to the church down the street? I'm sure you'll be more comfortable there. It's not for you to judge people as to their eternal destiny, or to judge them according to their race or gender or political allegiances or sexual orientation or their taste in tattoos or music or what team they're supporting in the Super Bowl coming up in a few weeks. That's not your job. That's not what you're called to do. What Jesus encourages us to do is to follow his example as a host He wants you to be inviting. He wants you to be welcoming. Three simple words, come and see. It's all we need to say to those who are seeking a deeper and a meaningful relationship and experience of life. Come and see. So do you think you can do that? I'm sure you can. As the Passover drew near, the disciples want to know what Jesus has planned. So Jesus indicates that he will be the host of the Passover meal, but that he needs some help. And he asks the disciples to help him with transportation and venue. Tells them to go and prepare. In Luke, his specific instructions are, go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it. And this is precisely what the disciples do. They find him a donkey, and they find him an upper room. In other words, not only is it our job to welcome others to the meal, Jesus also asks that we prepare the meal itself. Jesus is the host, but we're in the kitchen. Jesus has done the shopping, but we're doing the cooking. We have the ingredients, but we have to prepare the meal. Now, I know some of you are great cooks, but if I invite you to sample my cooking, chances are the meal might not be that great or tasty. It might be dry or undercooked or oversalted, except when I'm on the grill. Okay, I'm not too bad with a barbecue. As a matter of fact, some of you have tasted my hot dogs, right? Okay. So for some of us, you know, sometimes the meal we invite others to sample is not too tasty. Jesus asks us to go and prepare. And so what he's doing is he is inviting us to give thoughtful consideration of what our guests will need and appreciate. We're not going to serve steak if our guests are vegetarian. So we need to be conscious of what it is that we dish up for people who are our guests here at CCD. For instance, how warm is our welcome? How easy is it for someone to fit in and feel at home? What message do we give with our music? Or our style of worship, or our use of technology? Is our service uplifting and encouraging and inspirational? Do we put people down, or do we lift them up? Do we offer people something on Sunday that they can actually use on Monday? What is it we put on the table in response to Jesus telling us to go and prepare? Now, it's interesting that Jesus asks us to go and prepare, but he also says that he, in turn, will go and prepare. It says in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. It says he will go and prepare a place for us. It's not exactly quid pro quo, but the implication is clear. You go and prepare, and I will go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Come and see. Go and prepare. And finally, Jesus asks as a host in Galilee when he invites his disciples to a fish breakfast. And he says, come and eat. This is the logical third step for us in reaching out to other people. First we invite. Then we prepare the meal and now we call people to dinner. We say, come, eat, come dine, come sit down and partake of the fellowship of our family in Christ. Come share with us the nutrients of worship and God's word that feed our souls. Come discover the delicious taste of serving someone else, or encouraging someone else, or lifting someone up. So you see, Jesus invites us to have a meal with him. Not just the meal we know as the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, the meal we celebrate on the first Sunday of each month. Yes, that, but also a figurative meal. The meal I'm talking about is to enter into an experience of closeness and union with the Lord, and so that we know his will for us, and so that we are strengthened to do it. Jesus is the welcoming host. Of course, he's more than that. He's God. He's our Savior. But he's also the host who invites us to come and see, and to go and prepare, and to come and eat. And he tells us to extend that same ministry to others who are seeking meaning and a way to connect with our awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, for his invitation to all of us to come and see. Come and see who he is, what he's like, what you are like, who you are, how much you love us. To go and prepare and to invite us to come and eat, to dine with him. Sometimes we overcomplicate things, God. We feel it's our responsibility to be the judge of someone's character, or the judge of someone's beliefs or who they are. And yet, what you want most for us is just to love other people, to be welcoming, to be inviting. May we as Community Church of Douglaston be willing to extend that simple invitation to those people we see and meet. Come. Come and see what it's like. May we be conscious of what it is we offer to them and how we do that. And may we all experience the joy of them coming and sitting down and dining with us, eating with us. May your Spirit encourage us and enable us to be those welcoming hosts as you are our welcoming host. In your name we pray. Amen.